Hello, everyone. I'm Christina Vogt, assistant editor for Consultant360.com and your moderator for Podcast 360. Today, I'm joined by Dr. James J. Matera, who is the medical director of population health at Central State Medical Center in Freehold, New Jersey. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Matera.
Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Today's podcast will be centered around determining appropriate blood pressure targets for patients with kidney disease, managing hypertension in this patient population, and how blood pressure targets for these patients have been affected by the new 2017 hypertension clinical guidelines issued by the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology. So to start, what is the mechanism between kidney disease and hypertension? How does one cause the other?
That's a great question, because many times we know that hypertension can precede chronic kidney disease, or oftentimes chronic kidney disease leads to hypertension. Most of our patients, because of a number of different interactions, primarily with the renin-angiotensin and aldosterone system, most of our chronic kidney disease patients will have hypertension. But we have to keep in mind that hypertension itself is a leading cause of chronic kidney disease, probably only outdone by diabetes in this country. Some of the reasons why we find that this is important is because when we actually block the renin-angiotensin system, this is shown to be very beneficial in patients with chronic kidney disease. So not only do we have to look at chronic kidney disease as it causes hypertension, but also what the effect of that is. High blood pressure, when it's a complication of chronic kidney disease, is very important. The kidneys play a key role in keeping blood pressure in a healthy range. And when you have chronic kidney disease from any type of disease, whether it be diabetes, lupus, inflammatory conditions of the kidneys, polycystic kidney disease, regulation of the blood pressure becomes of prime importance. We also know that if hypertension remains unchecked in the patient with chronic kidney disease, that leads to a further decline in their kidney function and leads more towards end-stage or advanced chronic kidney disease populations. And that's what we want to try to prevent in these scenarios.
How do appropriate blood pressure targets differ among patients with kidney disease compared with the general population?
That is a fantastic question, and one that's been of prime importance, especially since the advent of the 2017 guidelines. Prior to this, we really wanted to target very low blood pressures in patients, sometimes what we would call intensive control, with blood pressures down to 120 over 70 or 120 over 80 for chronic kidney disease. When JNC8 came out a couple of years back, it was by and large almost really ignored by the scientific community. The American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association came out with guidelines in 2017, which they gleaned primarily from the SPRINT trial. And that really led to these new guidelines, and that lowered blood pressure targets to a threshold of 130 over 80 for virtually all adults, including patients with chronic kidney disease. What they did in SPRINT is they randomized the participants who were at a high risk for cardiovascular disease. That was one of the primary endpoints in SPRINT. And they looked at two subgroups, those that were treated to intensive control levels or blood pressure systolic of about 120 millimeters of mercury, and then more of a standard blood pressure, which was 140 millimeters of mercury for the systolic targets. Those patients that they found in the intensive group, where they got down into the 120 range, they did have lower rates of cardiovascular events and death, and the results didn't differ by baseline chronic kidney disease. Now, you have to remember that we have to classify chronic kidney disease a certain way. So what they looked at in this trial was an estimated GFR under 60 milliliters per minute per 1.73 meters squared. The effect of the more intensive blood pressure lowering on kidney-related outcomes does remain somewhat controversial. We all know that our chronic kidney disease patients are at high risk for cardiovascular events. That is the leading comorbidity and oftentimes the leading cause of death for our patients, whether they be on dialysis or at advanced stages. Even our younger patients who have advanced chronic kidney disease have higher cardiovascular risks. We know that. So SPRINT, when it looked at several other studies, showed that more intensive systolic blood pressure control decreased cardiovascular events, including in patients with chronic kidney disease. So what were the pros and cons, if you will, of that? Number one, we know it decreased mortality and it decreased cardiovascular events. The thing we have to remember, especially in the chronic kidney disease population, is there were some cons that were associated with more intensive lowering. There was a higher incidence of syncope and hypotension, And that in and of itself can lead to other conditions, such as falls in elderly patients. We did also see there was a higher incidence of acute kidney injury and other electrolyte abnormalities when you treated intensively. There was a decreased adherence in those patients, and it also increased their polypharmacy. Especially in the elderly patients, these are two prime motivators for a patient to take or not take their medications. Sometimes they can't afford them, sometimes they don't adhere to them, and when you start adding more and more medications at higher doses, the patient's polypharmacy becomes difficult to control. And that's an area that we look at in population health now as well. And then, of course, there's increased healthcare utilization in those patients. So although intensive blood pressure control may lead to a slightly faster decline in GFR when we look at the cons, these adverse outcomes were usually reversible and of a lower magnitude. So we really aren't fully clear on what the clinical relevance is. So that's what led us to the guideline in chronic kidney disease of 130 over 70. Also keep in mind, though, that SPRINT did exclude patients who had advanced chronic kidney disease and end-stage renal disease, and they also didn't look particularly at patients who had heavy proteinuria or diabetes, two other real important factors in our chronic population.
How should clinicians approach pharmacological treatment in patients with comorbid kidney disease and hypertension?
So I think when we look at these studies, and if we look back to some other studies like ACCORD, which came out in 2010, we know that our guidelines, and I think our best goal, should be 130 over 80 in patients with stage 3 or higher CKD, or patients who have earlier stages like stage 1 or stage 2 CKD, but already have symptoms like albuminuria. And I think we know, hands down, that inhibiting the RAS system with either an ACE inhibitor or a receptor blocker is a reasonable and excellent approach to slow progression of chronic kidney disease. So I think these are our number one priority in our armamentarium against this disease. The CKD subgroup in SPRINT actually included about 2,600 patients with a mean age of about 72, and their starting GFR was about 48 milliliters per minute. 78% of those patients had a 10-year Framingham risk score that was above or equal to 15%. So when we were able to achieve better blood pressure controls on them, they did notice that there was a decreased all-cause mortality. That was actually measured at an annual mortality of 1.6 versus 2.2% in those patients who had the blood pressures reduced down to those guidelines. They also found that there was really no incidence in end-stage renal disease in these patients who were treated a little bit more aggressively. So that really tells us that our target of 130 over 80 is appropriate and beneficial in this patient population.
What discussions should clinicians be having with their patients with comorbid kidney disease and hypertension regarding lifestyle modifications such as diet, exercise, and smoking, among others?
Also a great question, because all of these things have to go hand in hand. When we're dealing with a chronic kidney disease patient, our first goal should be to slow down the progress of their chronic kidney disease, control their albuminuria, treat them appropriately with antihypertensive agents, and certainly non-pharmacological therapies are of utmost importance. And if you look at some of these studies, including ACCORD, including SPRINT, they did look at weight loss and body fat goal to be at ideal body weight. And what we found is that if you aim for at least a 1 kilogram reduction in body weight for overweight adults, we can see somewhere between a 5 millimeter decrease in the systolic and a 2 to 3 millimeter in the diastolic, just based on weight loss alone. Certainly a healthy diet, and people have advocated the DASH diet, so a diet that's rich in fruits and vegetables and whole grains, low-fat dairy products, and marked reducing of saturated and total fat intake can also reduce to about an 11-point drop in the systolic blood pressure. Reduced intake of dietary sodium, I can't say enough about. Oftentimes, when we see failures in our patients to maintain healthy lifestyles and good blood pressure, oftentimes we look at their dietary sodium intake. Our optimal goal is 1,500 milligrams per day, and that's pretty stringent. 2,000 would be fairly acceptable, but again, just based on an intake of sodium that goes down into the 1,500 to 2,000 milligram range, you'll see a 5 to 6 point decrease in systolic blood pressures. Dietary potassium has also been shown in non-chronic kidney disease patients to be a factor. In our chronic kidney disease patients, we have to be very careful. Number one, we're going to have them on ACE inhibitors or receptor blockers, which can in and of themselves raise potassium. And number two, as chronic kidney disease progresses, we lose the ability to handle potassium very well. So they can become hyperkalemic. So once a patient has chronic kidney disease, especially stage three and higher, I usually don't shoot for a dietary potassium of 3,500 to 5,000 milligrams per day. That's probably going to be too high. But in a patient with normal kidney function, we can also see substantial decreases in their blood pressure. Certainly, looking at exercise, patients that have exercised at a moderate level for about 30 minutes per day can help in their weight loss and also help in their blood pressure control. So all of these things, when it comes to the social activities like alcohol use, the studies have said that you really need to limit yourself to two drinks per day if you're a male and one drink per day for a woman. I often find that our patients are not very forthcoming with the amount that they actually drink. So that's a question you want to ask specifically. Do you have a drink every day? And if so, how many? And certainly our smoking patients, again, because of their risk of cardiovascular disease, that has to be taken into account. And therefore, all measures should be taken to have them stop smoking.
Thank you again for joining us today, Dr. Matera.
Well, thank you for having me. I hope that gives some people some insight into the new changes in hypertension management.